much about.
Now remember, we are live, so no swearing or they will cut you off.
What about us?
What?
Hold on, let me start again. That was yesterday. Hang on. Keep rolling.
Much about.
You ready?
This is take one,
and two, and away we go.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G. Ah!
Sure, we got Adele singing the next James Bond theme, huh? Well, let's go through some title choices here. Golden Thigh, The Buffet Is Not Enough, Pie Another Day, and of course you can wrap the whole thing up with Casino Royale with cheese.
Overweight people have it hard enough being disgusting without you making fun of them.
You know what? I'm sorry. I just made that Adele call, and I'm really kind of ashamed of myself. I left out Dr. No Dessert Is Too Big and Quarter Pounder of Solace.
And now, I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
I love to get high.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? Welcome into an all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Tuesday. I don't know if the young man who calls in on the Afro line with the Adele comedy listens to the podcast or is up this early, but if you're listening, well done. Excellent.
Yeah.
I always enjoy hearing from that dude. He's very good. How are you guys doing? Lisa, how are you?
I'm good, Bean. How are you?
How's Boner? I haven't heard much about Boner lately. What's he up to?
Boner's the best. I'm so in love. But Boner wants to play first thing in the morning. And then how can I resist that little phase? And so I start throwing toys. And the next thing I know, I'm supposed to be out the door in 5 minutes. I'm like, damn you, Boner.
Is that the first time you've yelled that at a man?
No, it's not.
I'm not even going to come down on you for buying Boner an outfit this week, by the way. But
he's cold.
You believe Boner is cold, and there's nothing I can do to... Boner is fine at 65 degrees. He's fine.
At 60, I have to take him outside to go potty, right? So when it's 62 degrees, and I proved this the other day, he shivers when I take him out. Obviously, my home is warmer than that, so maybe it's just the change in temperature. But yesterday, I put his little hoodie on.
Oh, my God.
He did not shiver.
Why does he have
scientific
a hoodie?
Experiment.
Look, no one loves dogs more than I do. Does not need an outfit. Does not need to get dressed to go outside. Is dog.
You're
We're not
wrong.
Living in North Dakota.
You've never had a 4-pound dog.
Oh, Lisa.
They get cold really easy. But he'll lay in 100-degree sun, happy as a clam. I bet your dog won't do that.
No. Well, bulldogs are terrible with heat, as you know. But
and chihuahuas are terrible with cold.
But it's not cold. 62 is not cold. It's not 17. It's 62.
The next time you're 4 pounds, you tell me if 62 is cold or not.
Muggs,
you barely have hair.
how are you, Muggs?
I'm energized and ready to go, Bean.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that confidence.
Got the love back in my life. Ready to do this.
How about that? Yeah. Muggs is back on track.
Yeah.
Love it.
Back in the saddle.
Yep. Again.
Almost literally. All right, here's a story. I don't love it. I kind of like it, but I would love to know what it's like to be Mr. Ronald Wade, who showed up for a job interview the other day, walked into the sheriff's department in Vicksburg, Mississippi to apply for a job. Don't know if he got the job or not, but he did end up in jail. As it turned out, there was a warrant out for his arrest for manslaughter in Florida. Now, the first thing I thought is the sheriff's department the place you go if there's a warrant out for your arrest? Don't you, at the sheriff's department, there's going to be a background check, right?
You might think that.
I would expect
one who
that.
Thought.
I would 100% expect, okay, at most places there's going to be a background check, but especially in law enforcement, they're going to look into me if I'm applying for a job there. If there's a warrant out for my arrest, maybe not go knock on that door looking for work.
Maybe he didn't know.
It's
Could it be a surprise?
It's interesting you should say that, Lisa, because that is very possible in this case. He had been involved in an automobile accident in Florida, and there was a warrant out for his arrest for the charge of driving under the influence and manslaughter. He was in a serious wreck where he was taken to the hospital and was never arrested or charged with the crime, but they put a warrant out for his arrest because they wanted to, they wanted to do further investigation on it. And of course, then he moved to Mississippi, possibly not knowing there was a warrant for his arrest. So I don't know what to feel about Mr. Ronald Wade. Either he's a moron and he showed up in law enforcement knowing there was a warrant out for his arrest, or he's just a hardworking American out there, you know, trying to get a nut, and he shows up and finds out that there's a warrant for his arrest for manslaughter and then ends up in prison.
Oh, that's so the opposite of getting a job.
Either way, that's a bad day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I almost kind of feel bad for him.
The only other thing is maybe he thought if he went to another state, it wouldn't follow him. Is that possible?
Maybe. Because he certainly knew he was in an accident and he knew he had been drinking and driving.
Yeah.
But I'm, as I always say, give me more details, because how did they know if, I mean, I guess they knew from the hospital check-in who he was, but they didn't do anything with him at the scene and they never visited him in the hospital to arrest him. So there's a whole chain of custody here that's a question mark for me.
Yeah, it sounds like bad police work.
It does. It sounds like bad police work. They're way better on TV than they are in real life.
That's true.
So anyway, sorry, Mr. Wade. That is not the plan you were hoping for today. But,
no, but he will be getting 3 squares a day.
He certainly will. Hey, if his goal was a place to live and something to eat, if that's why he was looking for a job, done.
Yep.
Accomplished. All right, let's tell you about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
Oh, I don't know that. Come on. Try to help here. I'm not pleased with the onslaught of people on this show and listeners to this program who insist that I have Asperger's, because I clearly don't.
You clearly do. That's why everybody else insists. You just don't like the idea.
It's a high-functioning autism, and like the kid on Parenthood, I guess I'm just blissfully unaware of how the world operates.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently Ralph has discovered a brand new Asperger's quiz. I guess they continue to define what is Asperger's, and I've not seen this, but he says he would like to present it to me today and find out if I'm now am ready to believe. Also, highlights from the Charlie Sheen roast on Comedy Central last night. Anyone see that but me?
No, because we knew you had to see it.
Okay. So why spend 90 minutes watching it when you can spend 8 minutes listening to it on the radio, right?
Exactly.
We do have highlights of that for you today. There's a new place where you can go and save your fat. I don't know all the details on this. I haven't read the article yet, frankly. But apparently you save fat in case you need it for surgical procedures later on in your life. They have a fat bank. So we want to find out what that's all about and why we should care.
Huh, okay.
An all-new Bean's Death Corner on the program today. You know that makes me excited.
Excellent.
And we got a couple of great guests for you today. Jason O'Mara, who's a terrific actor, is in a new show on Fox that's getting a tremendous amount of buzz. It's called Terra Nova. We'll be talking to him today. And we're also going to be talking to the beautiful Yvonne Strahovski, who we all fell in love with on Chuck, and she is in this incredible Killer Elite movie that's getting ready to come out. She's also on the cover of new Maxim magazine. She is not tough on the eyes, so we'll talk to Yvonne, catch up with her. And there's a new book out about the 200 different reasons why women have sex. I can't imagine that somebody, I mean, more power to him for coming up with this concept to write a book. And I guess there are many more reasons than I would have ever imagined why women have sex. Because with guys, it's because we can.
Right.
Apparently with girls, they're not always attracted to the person they have sex with, but may have sex for pity. They may have sex for revenge. They may have sex to burn calories. I mean, there's apparently a lot of different reasons.
We're complicated.
I just think that is that's fascinating. So we're going to hear all about that. Plus, of course, our friend Ralph Garman has the Showbiz Beat, and it's all next coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, party people. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on 106.7 KROQ, the world-famous K-Rock at 550. Tyler Labine, friend of the show, who we love so much from that program I couldn't watch because I was afraid of, has a couple of new movies out. We'll talk to Tyler coming up here on Kevin and Bean Show just after the top of the hour. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Bean's doing his own setups for jokes no one will give him the punchline to anymore.
I wasn't expecting anyone to give me the punchline to.
You were, and
not
you were wrong, and then you did it anyway. If you weren't expecting someone to give you a punchline, then how do you do the setup?
It was an inside joke for people who have heard us talk about it in the past. I thought they would get a kick out of it. That's your participation not required. I'm just promoting Mr. Labine joining us after the top of the hour, and now we move on to something else.
I'm Bean.
In this case, it's time for the Showbiz Beat.
Oh, no, it's not time for the Showbiz Beat. It's time for more super-duper Hollywood advanced screening passes.
Woo. Oh, what's going on now?
For weeks now, I've been bringing you advanced screenings to some of the biggest blockbuster movies to come out this summer and fall. And the streak continues. today I've got passes to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Real Steel.
Yay!
Movie starring Hugh Jackman, but a former boxer who has to build a robot boxer to compete against all these other high-tech robots. They don't have any heart, but this robot's got heart. Because Hugh Jackman puts his heart into the robot. He saves it from the scrap heap.
I saw the trailer. It looks
awesome.
It looks really
good.
Yeah.
Is this like they're making the Battleship movie and the Candyland movie? Is this Rock'em Sock'em Robots movie?
No, this isn't. But I can see why you would think that. There are some similarities. Robots fighting each other, of course. But if I'm not mistaken, if it's not based on, it is heavily influenced by a classic Twilight Zone episode. Or maybe it was Outer Limits. I believe it was Twilight Zone, which was done in like the 60s, so it was a different kind of feel. But it was about a time where boxing is deemed too brutal, so they start building robots to fight in the ring instead of humans.
Oh.
And in the original version, the guy, he's an out of luck, down on his luck boxer who's got the, he manages this robot, and the robot's on his last legs, and it cannot get ready to go and cannot fight that night. So what the guy does is he takes pieces of the robot off and puts it on himself and goes in the ring up against the robot.
Ah.
Ends up being killed in the ring, but it's his last chance for glory, basically. This one's a little different because Hugh Jackman plays a boxer who is down on his luck, is having no luck with these robot fights, and he puts together this scrap heap robot along with his son. And the difference about this robot is it's able to mimic and empathize with Hugh Jackman, so he teaches it everything he knows. So in the essence, it's like he's in the ring when the robot is fighting, and the action looks terrific. I'm really looking forward to this. Hugh Jackman stars Evangeline Lilly, who really we haven't seen much of since Lost, is also in this film. I can't wait to see it. Real Steel is the name of the movie. It is on Tuesday, October the 4th. That's when our screening is. If you aren't able to attend, it's in theaters everywhere Friday, October the 7th. If you'd like to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First two callers that get through. First two callers that get through. We'll get a pair of passes to our advanced screening of Real Steel. And apparently in the film, one of the robots headbutts the other robot, and then the robot sucker punches him and knocks him out, and everybody hates the other robot. And
no, I
think the robot calls 50 Cent on a stack of hundreds, and they pretend like they're talking on cell phones. And
you're talking about Floyd Mayweather. Nothing to do with this movie, actually.
What?
I wish I was 50 years younger, and I'd kick your ass.
Me too. Sad news today. Bob Hope's longtime wife, Dolores Hope, finally passed away yesterday. In the words of my sometimes partner Kevin Smith, a big bucket of wind for Dolores. However, she passed away at the age of 102.
Wow.
You can't really ask for more than 102 years on this big blue marble we call Earth, can you?
What were they eating in their house where her husband lived to 100 and she lived to 102?
Yeah, good genetics, I'm guessing. They were married for nearly 70 years before he died in 2003.
Mm.
So, you know, they both did an enormous amount of work for charity and donated land and money for medical centers and for kids, pediatric health centers, and all kinds of great stuff. So, Dolores Hope, she will be missed.
How about that, Dolores, huh? She's something. Yeah.
Congratulations to Tracy Morgan. He's taking another stab at marriage. He got down on one knee and proposed to his girlfriend named May 6 months ago. The proposal was pretty traditional, May says, which is funny. You think Tracy Morgan would do it, you know, hanging outside of a window with a snake around his neck or something like that. But he's married to his first wife, Sabrina, for 24 years, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, they have three sons together, and they split up, and now he's going to get married again. If you say yes to a proposal from Tracy Morgan, you are maybe the bravest woman I could possibly think
of. I can't imagine what that would be like.
That's got to be quite the life to live every day with Tracy Morgan. When he wakes up in the morning, you know what he is? He's Tracy Morgan.
Yes, and he's always Tracy Morgan.
That means you're going to have a nutty breakfast. The minute you get up, you got something to look forward to.
That story is not funny.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it's true. Michaela Salahi, the story just keeps getting better.
Now what?
Tariq and Michaela. You know, of course, she left him for the guitarist from Journey.
Mm-hmm.
And Tariq said he has not stopped crying since. He's hysterical over the situation.
And the situation is involved? I didn't hear about that at all.
He also says that it's been particularly tough on their Doberman pincher, Rio, who loved mommy so much that he's so depressed he can't get out of bed. Well, things took a turn for the worst this weekend. Apparently, Rio is now in the big dog park in the sky.
No!
Rio died of a broken heart late Sunday night. He will be missed. Rio was 8. Michaela, by the way, may be costing herself some money for her affair.
Whore.
TMZ got a hold of the couple's prenup, which specifically states that Michaela will lose her right to money and other property they accumulated during their 8-year marriage if she commits adultery. Furthermore, she is said to be not eligible for spousal support because she moved out of the family home. These were all specifics in the prenup, so she could have cost herself a lot of money.
Was he super rich when they got married? I mean, those are the only people that write up those kinds of prenups, right?
He's pretty wealthy. I believe he's still pretty wealthy.
Yeah.
And she doesn't look like she'll be getting much of it, if
anything.
How
about that? That's poor planning on her. I mean, if she could have kept it under wraps and then, you know, handled her business in a way that she wouldn't have excluded herself from all this money, would have been made a lot more sense.
But isn't she going to have journey money?
Yeah. How long is he going to stay with her, though? He married a playmate 2 months ago. He's already over her.
Well, look.
How long is he going to put up with this Malahi Mahuhamaha?
What?
Whatever her name is.
Michaela Salahi.
Whatever her name is. She sounds like some sort of a Hawaiian dish. That's all I know.
You can't resist the Journey guitars, though. I could see why she had to go. How do you turn down the white hot star of Journey?
Exactly.
Tonight's premieres, new TV all this week. Here's what you want to check out.
All right.
New Girl, Zooey Deschanel. New Girl. You can check her out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. NCIS returns inexplicably. Unforgettable, the new series on CBS starring Poppy Montgomery. She used to be on Where's That Face?
I don't know what show I guarantee it wasn't called.
No,
Where's That Face?
Who's Your Daddy? What's the missing person show with Anthony LaPaglia? Criminal Faces. Criminal question
intent?
Marks. Where are you?
Alex just said Cold Case.
No, it's not Cold Case.
Without a Trace.
Oh. That's it.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear God.
Yeah, that's what I remember her from.
Now, she plays a police detective or something, or some sort of investigator who has a photographic memory.
That's right.
What this one's about.
She cannot forget.
Okay.
She can forgive, but she cannot forget.
I see.
She's the opposite of being. The man who forgets everything the minute after it's done. He just pushes it out of his head. But
what are we talking about?
That's what I'm saying. And Glee's back. If you want to check out Glee, you can see that tonight as well.
Ralph, you see the Playboy Club last night?
No, I T-voted, but I have not seen it yet.
I have not seen it either. Did you see Two Broke Girls last night?
I did see that.
I thought it was very good.
Oh, really?
I did. Well,
good. You thought it was very good.
All right, I'll be the tiebreaker today and watch it.
I love Kat Dennings so much, and I thought she was great.
You were blinded by her boobs.
And that's all I care about, is that she's awesome.
You were blinded by her
really?
Boobs.
Really? You didn't think it was good?
I thought she was very funny. I thought it was cute, really. If I'm being generous, I thought it was cute.
Okay. That's as good as you'll go.
It wasn't horrible. It wasn't unwatchable. It was cute. But very good or great, I would be hard pressed.
I mean, I didn't say great. I think very good.
I would give it another shot. But it was very jokey and very sort of forced. The premise is really jammed down your throat. It's
well, it is not
a deft touch when it comes to comedy in this situation.
As we have discussed many times, oftentimes the pilot is not the best episode in a series because there's a great deal of exposition and introduction of characters. But I definitely am going to give it another shot.
They sure ended up on drinking coffee on a horse. I know that much.
you didn't say spoiler alert.
Sorry, Lisa.
Damn it.
It's that kind of subtle humor that you'll find in Two Broke Girls.
All right.
Look at this. We're on a horse. What are the odds? Today's celebrity birthdays. The lovely and talented actress Sophia Loren celebrates her 77th birthday. Sophia Loren, by the way, who seems like she has been older and famous for 400 years. She's 77. The guy from inside the actor's studio, James Lipton, 85, we found out yesterday. How is that possible?
Just crazy.
That's nuts. Actor Gary Cole, one of my favorites.
Oh, he's the best. I don't know who that guy is.
Oh, I wish Kevin was here so we could play that tape. You're a guy who I don't know who you are, he once said to Gary Cole in this room after I introduced him as Gary Cole.
And ran down a list of 20 things that Kevin had seen him in.
Gary Cole is 55 years old today. Gunnar and Matthew Nelson. They are together Nelson.
Wow.
Creative.
They are 44 years old today. Actress Moon Bloodgood.
Oh, she's the best.
36 years old. Ben Shepherd of Soundgarden is 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Kevin and Bean Show, 626.
Bean Dexter. Bean Baxter, that's what an Asperger's all about.
Asperger's syndrome, a condition related to autism that often produces an aversion to social contact.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't know that that's me at all.
Bean,
and I don't know why you keep insisting, Ralph,
who
that
we
it
work
is.
With here on the Kevin and Bean Show, has something called Asperger's syndrome. It is a mild form of autism. Often people who suffer from Asperger's are completely functional in their everyday lives, but socially and in other areas, they are handicapped by this form of autism. Bean refuses to acknowledge that he has the syndrome.
I don't have the syndrome.
We beg to differ.
Which brings me to this email sent to us by one of our listeners, Sarah, who is a professional therapist. She wrote to Kevin and myself, love the show, I'm a therapist, and was forwarded this link to an Asperger's syndrome checklist. I would be very interested to hear Bean's score, and also like to see if he is hesitant to answer the questions until he fully understands what's being asked. That's one of the aspects of Asperger's, by the way. I think that the inability to read social cues in conversations makes it difficult for him at times to picture what someone else is thinking. Really? Do you think, Sarah? Anyway, she sent along the test. It is 50 questions, so we won't bother asking you all 50, Bean. I'll just ask you some of them. We'll skip through there. We'll write down your scores, and then we'll just try to get a general idea whether really you should just acknowledge that you suffer from Asperger's or whether you will continue to live in denial. What do you say?
Clearly, this is no way to actually diagnose a syndrome.
Actually, it is.
And this is for entertainment purposes only,
no,
right?
This is an actual diagnostic tool. So let's go through some of the questions and see how they respond.
All right. I'm willing.
I prefer to do the same things the same way over and over again. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's I definitely agree, Bean, slightly agree, slightly disagree, or definitely disagree?
There's no reason to ever do anything differently than the last time you did it, because the reason you do it that way is because it works.
All right, fair enough. I frequently get so strongly absorbed in one thing that I lose sight of other things.
All right, that is me. That one happens to be me.
I often notice small sounds when others do not.
Oh. You don't even have to answer, Dean.
I notice car number plates, license plates, or similar strings of numerical information.
I see every number that's put in front of me. I can't not see it. Mm-hmm.
Other people frequently tell me that what I've said is impolite, even though I think it's perfectly polite.
Okay, all right. Why don't you let me at least answer, Beer Mug? Come on.
You want to answer?
Oh, I thought that one was already in the can. Well, yeah, thanks for that info, Bean. Yeah, that has happened. Okay. Yes, I do hear that from people.
I am fascinated by dates.
Not that, 11-11-11 isn't coming up very soon here, but yes, I do notice those.
I find social situations easy.
I hate social situations.
Okay. I tend to notice details that others do not.
All right. Guilty as charged on that one.
I would rather go to a library than a party.
1,000%. Are you kidding me? Parties have people, Ralph. What good is that?
I tend to have very strong interests, which I get upset about if I can't pursue.
It doesn't mean I one day won't be the Postmaster General. Come on.
I enjoy social chit-chat.
Maybe on Twitter, but that's about it.
When I talk, it isn't always easy for others to get a word in edgewise.
Oh, come on. Is this the real quiz, or is this just something you wrote up to somehow embarrass me?
This
come
is
on.
Actually the quiz. I am fascinated by numbers.
Again, yes, with the numbers.
I notice patterns in things all the time.
Yes.
Find it easy to read between the lines when someone's talking to me. No?
No.
I don't think I do.
I know how to tell if someone listening to me is getting bored. That is an actual question.
Come on
this exam.
On Ralph Garman's imaginary exam.
No, this is not for me. This is from Cambridge University in the UK. They have developed this.
There are times where I am surprised that people are not as interested in what I am speaking of as I am.
People often tell me that I keep going on and on about the same thing. We need some more bells than that. There we go. Thank you so much. I like to collect information about categories of things.
This is just getting ridiculous now.
I like to carefully plan any activities I participate in.
Well, you don't wing it. You can't wing it. You can't just go out there and go all willy-nilly.
I enjoy social occasions.
All right. You've driven that point home. I'd rather be at home alone.
I am a good diplomat.
All right. I think we're out of time.
Are we out of time?
I think we're completely out of time.
Are you finally willing to acknowledge that you have Asperger's syndrome?
You make up lies, sir. That's what's going on here.
Asperger's. He's the man. The man with misfiring synapse. And he loves maps.
Yeah, it's also on the list if you love maps, absolutely.
He really loves maps.
Bean does love maps.
I am a fan.
He enjoys maps. He digs those maps.
Maps, numbers, license plates, telephone numbers. He's got a problem.
If you've always wanted to see Foo Fighters dressed up like a bunch of hillbillies playing for the Westboro Baptist Church, God hates, you know, those guys, yeah. Protesters, you can see the video up at KROQ.com right now. You're listening to the world-famous KROQ. It is 640. Thanks for joining us on a Tuesday for the Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful Yvonne Strahovski joins us later on. She's on the cover of the current Maxim magazine. Terrific actress, TV and movies. Also, Jason O'Mara is going to be joining us, too. Is it O'Mara or Omara?
O'Mara.
Omara. Got
Omara,
it. Okay.
Yes.
He is from Terra Nova, and he'll be on later.
That's the Irish way to say it.
Huge month for television. Ralph's been doing a great service to the Kevin and Bean listeners by giving you heads up every day on what new shows and returning favorites are coming back.
Too much. Too much.
Too much show. Absolutely. And, you know, last night, maybe you were over watching the new Playboy Club or watching Hawaii 5-0 or watching How I Met Your Mother or Two and a Half Men. All those shows were on last night.
Dancing with the Stars.
Oi. So much.
Oi.
So maybe you missed the Charlie Sheen roast, and that was on Comedy Central last night. And I'm sure they'll replay it throughout the week and into the weekend. And when the whole thing was announced, we thought, hasn't every possible Charlie Sheen joke been made? I mean, what's left to say about this dude? There's rarely been a guy who has been discussed as much in the pop culture media as Charlie Sheen has this year. What's left for the roast? But they did a pretty good job last night. I have to tell you, there were quite a few laughs. And of course, you can't go wrong with your friend Seth MacFarlane, your boss over there at Family Guy and American Dad Ralph. You know how funny he can be.
Yeah.
He was the host of the program last night and got us started off.
Yes, we're here tonight to honor and hopefully arrest a man who was great in two things 25 years ago, Charlie Sheen. Actually, there's a lot of Sheen on TV this evening when the show airs. Tonight on Two and a Half Men, they're actually having Charlie's pretend funeral, believe it or not. There's no need to switch over, though. Just wait a few months. You can probably see the real thing.
That's the way it was going all night long. Is everybody just waiting around for Charlie to die? And, you know, you always wonder how the guest of honor is going to receive the information. He looked like, and who knows, I don't know how good an actor he is, he looked like he was having a great time all night long and really found this stuff funny. Your other friend John Lovitz was on the dais last night.
I heard, yeah.
And he was very funny.
You know, unlike all you people on this dais, I actually know Charlie, and I'm famous. No, he's my friend. I've known him for about 18 years. And I can tell you, he's nothing like the character he plays on TMZ. And people say, oh, he's crazy, you know, just because he likes beautiful women to come to his house, have sex with him, and then leave. What a nut!
You know, when you put it that way, who's crazy now, right?
It's true.
The Roastmaster was there, Jeff Ross.
Tell us, Charlie, how do you go from being TV's highest paid actor ever to being the highest actor ever to be on TV?
He's so funny. Here's one more from Jeff.
Instead of getting his life together, Charlie went out on a national comedy tour. where every night, Charlie, you walked on stage and you told the audience you were a warlock from Mars. Oh, maybe you are, but I'll tell you what you're not. A comedian from Earth. Charlie Sheen is to stand up what Larry Flint is to standing up.
See, Beer Mug, because he's in a wheelchair.
See?
He can't stand
up. Can't do that.
That's funny.
All right, a couple of curious choices on the bill last night on the Comedy Central roast of Charlie Sheen. Kate Walsh,
yeah,
who is the gorgeous redhead actress who's a doctor on Grey's Anatomy, now Private Practice, I guess is her show. I like her a lot. I don't think of her. She doesn't spring to mind. Does she have a comedy background, Ralph? Do you know?
No, not that I know of.
Very odd to see her there, but she was fine.
I have to say, Charlie, you are an incredible medical specimen. I guess that's one of the benefits of waking up every morning at the crack of crack. And you know, it's amazing. Despite all those years of abusing your lungs, your kidneys, your liver, the only thing you've had removed is your kids.
It's so funny because anything goes on these roasts. You can be as vile and as foul. And no subject is off limits. But on the jokes where they talked about how your kids are only going to see you in reruns and stuff like that, the audience, just there's a little bit of an extra groan there. A couple of comedians I was not familiar with on the bill last night. I don't know this guy at all. Anthony Jeselnik. Have you ever heard of him?
No, I have not.
I don't know how a guy like that gets on a bill like this on a high-profile roast show, but he was terrific.
Charlie, I don't understand why you're not grateful for what you have right now. I mean, after all, the only reason you got on TV in the first place is because God hates Michael J. Fox.
Because he was on Spin City. One more. Again, Anthony Jeselnik is the name.
Charlie, you are a monster. Every moment of your life looks like the first 2 minutes of Law & Order SVU.
That's great.
Amy Schumer was another guest on the show last night. I guess she was on Last Comic Standing and has turned into a professional comedian now. And I wasn't familiar with her. I thought she was really, really good.
Speaking of things that should already be dead, Charlie Sheen is still alive. Charlie, I'm a fan. You were amazing in Platoon. Your marriage to Denise Richards, it was kind of like her Vietnam because she was constantly afraid of being killed by Charlie.
and one more, and I think this was maybe my favorite line of the night.
But no, I mean, Charlie, you get a bad rap, but you're just like Bruce Willis. You know, you were big in the 80s, and now your old slot's being filled with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, wow. That hurts, right?
Wow. It hurts several people at once.
Yes.
We got time for a couple more, and I couldn't go without the great William Shatner, who was there last night. Of course, he has been a guest on – he's been roasted himself in this series of roasts on Comedy Central. But he can also dish it out.
A bit of fatherly advice he so clearly hasn't been getting. You see, I've been doing this for quite a while now, and I think that I can bestow on you some of the vast wisdom from my experience in this wonderful business of entertainment. First off, Charlie, I'm 80 years old. You're what, 47?
46.
How come we look like we went to high school together?
His delivery is so great. Anyway, 90-minute Charlie Sheen Comedy Central roast. You'll see it repeats throughout the week. I think it's worth checking out. I think there's still some fun to be had at Charlie's expense.
All right, Ralph.
Hey, how's rehab, by the way, speaking of Kings of Leon? It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ, 655. Got an all-new Beans Death Corner for you coming up after the top of the hour. I know you love that. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
It is Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV on DVD available for you to pick up if you're so inclined. New CDs, the second album of duets by Tony Bennett. Finally.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
I was being facetious. I think, is being genuine.
I've already pre-ordered it.
Tony Bennett sings with Lady Gaga, Willie Nelson, Queen Latifah, John Mayer. What a random collection of people to be performing with. This is the final new music we'll get from Amy Winehouse as well.
Yeah.
Her duet with Tony is one of the last things she recorded. So if you're so inclined, you can pick that up. Pearl Jam 20, the soundtrack to the movie of the same name by Pearl Jam, is available today. New album by Tori Amos. I love Tori. Night of the Hunters is the name of her new CD. You can check that out. Unbroken by Demi Lovato.
Bean?
I'm Bean. Bean.
Maybe.
Major Minor by Thrice and Hysterical by Clap Your Hands Say Yeah. What a weak-ass name for a band that is.
I think the King's a big fan of theirs.
Oh, I love them because it's about clapping and hens and saying yay. DVDs, Bridesmaids. If you missed it in theaters, yeah. You really owe it to yourself to get yourself a DVD of Bridesmaids and check it out. It's very
so
entertaining.
Good, yeah.
I saw something this week. I didn't read the whole article, but there's some deleted scenes that I think Paul Rudd was at one point in that film and was cut out, Ralph.
What?
Now you can see him on the DVD. I know, right?
Dumbo from Disney. If you want to pick that up for the kids, a legendary classic about an elephant who can fly. How about that? Think about it. Every time Khloe Kardashian gets on an airplane. The Kennedys miniseries that was honored at the Emmys Sunday night. Barry Pepper won an award for his work as Robert Kennedy. Greg Kinnear stars as John F. Kennedy. Katie Holmes as Jacqueline Bouvier Kennedy. Tom Wilkinson as the father of the Klan. Great performances. I didn't care for the script that much, but
I agree. Totally agree.
It's maybe better seen on cable next time it's around.
Man, was Tom Wilkinson great, though.
Yeah, he's always
great.
But
he's great in everything, yeah.
TV on DVD, Modern Family, the complete second season. You can pick that up. Castle, the complete third season. New episode Castle premiered last night. I love that show. Mentalist, the third season of that's available on DVD. Hawaii Five-0, you can check out the first season of the new Hawaii Five-0. Body of Proof, really? 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 Do we need a box set of Body of Proof?
Which one was that?
That's the one with the broad from Desperate Housewives, Dana Delaney.
Oh, right. Oh,
yeah. I barely remember that.
Well,
right?
It's back again for a second season, inexplicably. Tonight you can see the brand new episode of Body of Hope. Body of Proof, Raising Hope. Mike and Molly and Happy Endings. First seasons of those shows are all available on DVD as well. While we're talking about television, I want to keep you abreast of what's new and what's coming up. As we get into the new fall season, it's harder and harder to keep track of the new shows. So here's what you can find. Body Proof, as I mentioned, is back for a second season tonight. Unforgettable, new series on CBS. New procedural drama. It's a cop show with Poppy Montgomery about a detective who has a photographic memory. A little high concept, but it could work. Tosh is back. Tosh.0 on Comedy Central. New episode of that tonight. And on Fox tonight, you have Glee, a brand new Glee, then New Girl, the new comedy starring Zooey Deschanel. I'm looking forward to this, I think, of all the new comedies the most. I think she's a remarkably entertaining, and this looks like a really well-written, funny show. I'm looking forward
to it.
And it's a single camera. I can't watch traditional sitcoms anymore. I think I've been ruined. Because when you see
the
three cameras set up with the studio audience laughing and everything, like last night's Two Broke Girls, It just feels like you're watching something from the 70s.
Very dated.
Right.
Yeah.
And Raising Hope is back again as well. You can check that out. While we're talking about the Emmys, Rainn Wilson was not pleased that his buddy Steve Carell got passed over for an Emmy for Best Actor in a Comedy. He tweeted several angry tweets towards the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences after the event. He said, the world of TV should be ashamed of itself that Steve Carell never won an Emmy for his signature character, Michael Scott.
That's real talk right there, man.
Word.
I agree.
He also knew that The Office had zero chance of winning for Best Comedy Sunday night, primarily because the cast was given seats back in rows U and V, he said. So he knew they were sending them a message.
It wasn't a great season of The Office either, by the way.
No, it wasn't. Although I'm looking forward to the new one.
James
Spader looks very funny. Hugh Jackman, of course, star of Wolverine and X-Men and stage and screen. He's a nice dude by all accounts. Every movie that he goes on, he buys 500 lottery tickets at the beginning of the film and hands them out to the entire cast and crew.
Huh, that's kind of fun.
Yeah. He says it really breaks the ice, introduces him to everybody he's going to be working with. And he says, blowing money on these tickets for over a decade of movie making, only one person has ever had a winning ticket.
Oh, that's not very good.
One crew member cashed in a ticket for $110.
That's it?
That was the only winner that he's ever given out to anybody. So Hugh Jackman's bad luck, I guess, is the moral of that story.
If Hugh Jackman gives you a lottery ticket, don't take it, is what we're learning.
Right.
Take the cash.
And when you're playing games online, you never know who you're playing up against. Do you play Halo online? Do you like to play the Halo? If you do, there's an excellent chance that one of your opponents is Megan Fox.
Oh, dear God.
She said she loves Halo, plays constantly online. She's completely addicted, Megan says about the game. And she says it's nice when she plays people online because they have no idea. They're playing up against a big-time movie star like Megan Fox.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So next time you're playing Halo, just ask everyone you're playing with, are you Megan Fox? Are you Megan Fox? Today's celebrity birthdays, Moon Bloodgood, very talented and lovely actress. She is 36 years old today. Gunnar and Matthew Nelson, they're a band called Nelson. They're 44 years old. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun is 44. Gary Cole, one of my favorite actors, turns 55 years old
today. I'm going to have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be great if you worked this weekend, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
That would be great. Okay. Sophia Loren is 77 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thank you, Mr. Nirvana, on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ at 710. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Jason O'Mara from Terra Nova on the way. Also, Yvonne Strahovski will be on the program from that new film, Killer Elite. Later in the week, by the way, Charlie Hunnam is going to be here. He's from Sons of Anarchy. Beer Mug, your man crush, is going to be coming in. Also, This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla, our old friend Jimmy Kimmel, Joel McHale, apparently we're trying to get on the program for this week. Steve-O, Taylor Lautner, Phil Keegan from the Emmy-winning, again, Amazing Race. Big show all week long here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, time for a brand new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody, gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I
love death.
I don't know who to give credit to, but somebody tweeted this week, yes, God has a plan for you. It's called death. And I think that's very funny because we're all going to end up there eventually. So don't die in a boring way, kids. That's the advice I'm giving you today. Die in a way that is entertaining for the rest of us. And you, too, can be featured on Bean's Death Corner. We start today, Lisa, in suburban Chicago. There's a man on trial. The trial's going on right now. The crime happened on March 14th, 2008 in Carroll Stream, Illinois, where Robert Lyons decided he was angry at his mom when she refused to call a friend to arrange Skybox tickets for an upcoming Avril Lavigne concert.
Oh, no.
Look, she's fine. There's nothing wrong with Avril Lavigne in her music. Oh. I can see how somebody might enjoy that. But it doesn't seem like you need to fly into a rage, hit your mother in the head with a bottle of champagne, and then stab her nine times in the back. 39 years old, by the way. Maybe a little old to be going to an Avril Lavigne concert. However, I recently saw Taylor Swift, so who could I complain to? But he's on first-degree murder trial right now for killing his mom over Avril Lavigne. So.
See, it makes sense if it's like some murder rock band, you know, some...
Right, exactly, yeah. Cannibal Metal. Corpse or something like that. That makes sense. But Avril Lavigne...
That does
seem a little bit odd. Here's a terrible story. I'm a dog lover, as you know. This is seven dogs left home alone while their owner went on vacation for 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
2 weeks you go off and leave your seven dogs with nobody around to take care of them and to feed them and to let them out and to water them. Well, a neighbor was curious when he saw that the man had arrived home. His luggage was lined up in front of his house, yet there was a bad smell coming from the house. He arrived home on a Monday, by the way, he arrived home on a Wednesday. On the following Monday, 5 days later, police showed up and found out that the guy had been attacked and killed by his dogs when he got home.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't say in the article what kind of dogs they were. I'm assuming they were pretty big dogs and they were hungry and they just, at the first sight of food, they went for it.
Good for them.
I say good for them too, by the way. Here's my favorite part of the story. The man's skull was found in the kitchen. His body was found in the front of the house. They took him apart. Moral of the story here is go ahead and leave out some kibble if you're taking a vacation, all right?
Jeez.
Wow, right? Here's a story. It's not so much the way the guy died. It's what they did with him after he died. It's a real-life version of that movie from the 80s called Weekend at Bernie's.
Oh,
you guys
no.
remember that one?
Of
Beer
course.
Mug, you remember that one?
I
where they
love
take
that
the,
movie.
They take the guy at a party, he's dead, and they just take him everywhere with
them? Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what Robert Jeffrey Young and Mark Rubinson did. They have been charged with abusing a corpse, identity theft, and criminal impersonation. Apparently, the man died. These guys are not charged in their death, but what they decided to do was take him out for a good time. They used his ATM card, and they took him all over town in one of the man's Lincoln Navigators. They took him to a strip club. They took him to bars. and they did nothing but just spend money on his card while they were taking him out for one last time. Look, I think their hearts were in the right place here. I really do think, my guess is that these guys didn't look at it as, hey, we're committing criminal fraud. They looked at it as, oh man, our friend is dead. Let's take him out for one great night on the town. Don't
Absolutely.
You? The police spokesperson said, this is a bizarre and unfortunate crime. There isn't anything you want to have happen like this to a loved one. You want them treated with respect in death. But apparently they do not, the law does not look at it the same way we do. And one more, we do have bonus Bean's Death Corner stories. If you go to the website, kevinandbean.com, you can read all these stories and see links and pictures and video and audio and in some cases too, and some stories we don't have time for on the air, including the woman who died after injecting hot beef into her face. You definitely want to read about that one.
Oh, God.
But we'll close with this one. This was the hottest story that I was getting in my email last week, and it's an Arkansas weatherman, Brett Cummins, 33 years old, a meteorologist for a Little Rock, Arkansas station, went to a hell of a party. This sounds like something you would be involved in with Beer Mug. He goes over to a friend's house who's there with another friend. The three of them start doing drugs. He doesn't remember what it was. They were drinking a lot. He doesn't remember, the weatherman doesn't remember what kind of drugs they were doing. He does know that they were snorting. So they all pass out. One of the guys wakes up in the morning, and the other two guys, it turns out, are asleep in the bathtub of his house. Okay?
Okay.
He wakes up the weatherman. The weatherman tries to wake up the other guy who's in the bathtub with him and finds out that the other guy is dead. So the weatherman now has woken up after a heavy night of partying that he does not remember, after snorting some substance he can't recall. He's asleep in another man's bathtub with a corpse at this point. The weatherman gets up, vomits all over the place, leaves the house. A few minutes later, comes back because he realizes, hey, I'm a public personality and this is not going to look good. I better give a statement to the police. The police show up, and in their report, it is revealed that there's broken glass all over the apartment. The dead man, we found out, was lying on his right side in the bathtub in a fetal position. His face was blue and purple in color, and he had a dog collar around his neck. Dog collar around his neck.
And his face was blue because he couldn't breathe?
It sounds like that's exactly what happened. Yes, wow. A ring of blood around the bottom of the tub, and the man was purple and red in the face with a dog collar around his neck. That's the dude that the weatherman woke up in the bathtub with.
Dude. Wow.
The weatherman for the Little Rock ABC affiliate is he's on, not suspension right now, but they've given him a little time off to reflect. Perhaps on what he's going to be doing. So he will not be on the air as he is mourning the loss of his friends, as the statement comes. But I'd love to find out if they end up putting the pieces together and they end up charging anybody and finding out perhaps what happened. Like, was it some sort of bizarre sex thing, or was it a bet, or was it a Jackass style stunt? I mean, what could have happened where the dude ended up dead in a bathtub with a dog collar around his neck?
Well, yeah, wouldn't you dust for fingerprints and see who put the collar on him?
That would be
the big question, right?
I would have many, many questions. But you can see all these stories and more. Go to kevinandbean.com right now. This has been an all-new edition of Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Lisa, you would know more about this than I would.
Right.
What do you use fat for when you have fat removed from your body? What do they do with it that can help you medically? Is it plastic surgery type procedures or what?
They inject it into your lips to make them fuller. I think sometimes they can inject them into your cheeks or just places, like if you have a really flat butt, they might take it from your abdomen and put it in your butt.
So there's a lot of uses for it, and I guess there's a lot of very popular surgeries involved with using fat from your own body. But this is the first time I've seen this. In Orlando, Florida now, there is a fat bank. You can go in and you can have fat removed, and you can have it stored for you so that you can use it throughout your life. Now, One reason might be that it's a fairly expensive procedure. You only have to pay for it once. Now you've already got the fat out the next time you want to use it, for instance. That's one way that people are using it. Cost about $900 in storage fees for the first year, which seems kind of pricey. But apparently it's caused some controversy. Some people say the fat doesn't store well and that it's not that hard to take it out at the time, so you should do it fresh every time. But we wanted to find out more about this fat bank. What can this be all about? Dr. Jeffrey Hartog is on the phone with us from Orlando, Florida, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, doctor, how are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I'm fine. Is this you, doctor? You okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Thanks for calling the fat bank.
Okay, the fat bank. Yes. Why is it necessary to store fat?
Well, many people use their own fat in cosmetic procedures.
Right.
Like if you're too skinny in the face and you have wrinkles, we can inject fat, your own fat, under there and plump you up.
Yes. Are you a fat guy? You sound like you might be a little heavy.
I don't know why you would suggest that. Well, yes, I do weigh 800 pounds.
Whoa. 800 pounds?
I'm storing my own fat.
And not in a bank. You're storing it in your body.
Well, I'm fat.
You're fat. Yeah. All right. So people have the fat removed and then they store it in your fat bank and then they can use it throughout their life. And you think that it stores fine. There's no reason that you can't do it.
Absolutely. Fat is a very simple celled part of the body and it's not as complex as other tissues to store.
Okay.
And this way, when people, including many celebrities, need an injection, they can come here and make a withdrawal.
I see. I'm sorry, what was that last word again, doctor?
Withdrawal.
So pay for it once, and then you got your fat at your disposal.
For example, Lacey Schwimmer from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you were going to name celebrities. Wow, okay, yeah, tell me.
I don't know if you saw her on the show last night, but she made quite a withdrawal between last season and this season.
No, I did not see that.
We
sorry.
Just filled up her ass and thighs.
Wow.
About 40 pounds.
Wow, I don't know.
Fat.
I don't know why.
We used some from other people, too. We just didn't have enough for what she wanted. Chaz Bono to look thinner, I think.
Oh, that's what it is. I see.
She's got fat.
Yeah, it sounds
right?
Wow. It doesn't seem like you ought to be really naming your patients. Isn't there some sort of doctor-patient confidentiality when they
Lindsay
work with you?
Lohan.
Oh, my God, another one.
She was concerned that she looked too thin. Mm-hmm. So we sucked fat out of her sister, Allie.
Yes.
And stuck it in her.
Oh, boy.
You can use same family fat as well.
Yeah, but Allie looks terrible now. I mean, honestly, she looks like a stick.
Yeah, we might have to take some back from Lindsay and put it in Allie.
See, I think you're getting
it. Science. I'm not saying you got it down. Just saying it works.
It seems complicated to me, actually.
Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, what about Khloe?
She has had fat injected in her from her entire family. They all donated.
Why would she want that?
Because apparently she's looking towards a career in the NFL.
I don't, that doesn't make any sense. She's not going to play football.
Melissa McCarthy.
From Mike and Molly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She went to go to the Emmys Sunday and thought her dress was too blousy. So we filled her up with about 400 pounds.
Yeah, you did a pretty good job with her, Doc. I got to be honest.
She just pulled up and we have like a pump like at a gas station. And we just make an injection and just ding, 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 just fill her up. Fill
Your
her
place
up, she
is
said.
Very popular with celebrities, it sounds like.
It is not unpopular.
Well, if you're going to go off the air, that's a good time to do it, though, right, when you're playing. I just, you know.
Why do you think the equipment stopped working?
It's the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ at 7:39. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The beautiful Yvonne Strahovski joins us later on today's show, and actor Jason O'Mara, who, Ralph, you're right, I love so much on Life with Mars.
I'm still very excited. That show.
Yeah, me too. Very excited about this new Terra Nova. I'm glad you're here, Ralph, because remember when you mocked me and never stopped mocking me because I didn't know that you were supposed to use Q-tips to clean out your ears?
Yeah, couldn't imagine it.
never imagined the possibility that human beings were supposed to use Q-tips to clean their ears. Could it never crossed your mind? Couldn't fathom it.
I was surprised by that news. It certainly came to me late in life. Well, I had a similar experience to that last week when not quite as bad, not quite as dense. But when I was on vacation
last week,
bread
was for eating.
A couple of days ago, I was off. I took a couple days off last week, and I went to the dentist for my my checkup and cleaning. You know, like you do.
Right.
And you know, they always ask you about your dental habits, and they ask me if I've been flossing every day. And right. I had to confess, I'm not going to lie. I said, no, I don't floss every day.
Most people don't.
And the scorn and the disappointment from the dental hygienist that I was not flossing every day. I mean, it was as if I seriously had killed her family in front of her. The look on her face, she was horrified. Like, how can you be a human? Are you not civilized that you don't floss every day? And I do floss a couple of times a week.
Oh, my God. I'm horrified, too. You know,
okay.
Just only floss the teeth you want to keep.
Okay, this
I
is what...
I don't floss every day.
Oh,
thank
my
you.
God, I am horrified.
I'm so happy to hear Ralph say that because I didn't... Like, my wife is a rabid flosser. She flosses twice a day. She loves flossing. I understand that it's important, and I understand why you do it, because you don't get everything with your toothbrush. But the reaction that I got from the dental hygienist, and granted, it's her job, and maybe she's a little bit more invested in it than
sure,
most people would be.
Sure.
She did look at me like I didn't use silverware. You know what I mean? Like I was some sort of a Neanderthal. And I thought, is this like the Q-tip thing where I'm super out of whack and everybody else is flossing every day and I'm not? Or what's the story here?
No, I think you're much more in the mainstream. I think people who floss every day, they're probably the minority in this case.
They may
not be. Not by a lot, but I think those of us, even the best intentioned of us, would like to floss every day, but we just don't take the time to do it.
It's just, right, you just put the floss by the toothbrush, and then you
I know where it goes,
like,
Lisa.
It takes like 30 seconds.
I know where the floss is. I'm just saying I don't use it.
I am baffled.
Not 30 seconds. You have to take it out. You have to wrap it around. You have to do that and that and that. I've just spent 2 minutes brushing my teeth. Now you want me to invest another 2 minutes in flossing?
The one time you floss and you find that little tiny piece of meat from dinner, isn't that enough to go, all right, that's it. I'm doing this every day.
That's like a bonus snack.
Gross.
I don't know if you guys knew, but I use three different kinds of floss when I floss every night.
Really?
Yeah, one's a waxy and flat to get, you know, in between. One's a little more coarse.
I'm already bored with this story.
One's a little more coarse to get the hard, you know, particles
off.
What
part of I'm bored didn't you hear?
I thought you'd be interested.
Interested by saying I'm already bored with your story?
So, Muggs, you're flossing every day,
religiously. Three different kinds of floss.
Yeah.
Lisa, you're flossing every single day.
Yes.
Ralph, how often are you flossing?
A couple times a week. Once a week, I do use the water pick as well. Is a heavenly experience. I do enjoy the water pick.
I thought it would be interesting, and we haven't done a Kevin and Bean scientific survey in a long time, to find out how many people floss every day. I don't think of most people as flossing every day, but I mean, look at our tiny sample here of four people. We have two that do.
50-50.
So I thought it might be interesting to see. So we asked for five random callers to get on the line before they even knew what the topic was. So they're not calling in with an agenda. They didn't know the subject was going to be flossing. But let's just real quick find out what the percentage is.
All right.
And you listening on the radio can play along at home, too.
Hey, Bean, Zach? We have a jingle.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear that. Sure.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Well, that was worth stopping for. Thank you very much.
Thank God we got that production element.
We had to do it.
That's what won us the Marconi right there.
I didn't know it was going to be that elaborate. All right, we'll just take them in order, starting with Zach on line one. Zach, do you floss every day?
No, I was born in England. I don't go to the dentist.
Okay. Well, you barely got any teeth left anyway. All right, very good. Thank you for the call. So that's one for not every day. Let's try Seth line two. Hey, Seth, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
I was just having a conversation about this on Saturday. I think I might have flossed 6 times my entire life.
Okay, there we go.
There we go. That's two no floss.
All right, he's honorary Briton. Let's try Alden, line four. Alden, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How often do you floss?
Maybe like once or twice a year.
Once or twice a year?
Why
okay.
Do you bother?
Well, if you've got something really chunky up there, you got to get it.
Oh, my God.
Just after Thanksgiving and Christmas meals, he flosses. All right, so that's 0-for-3 so far for every day. We're not even we're not even in every week yet.
No.
T is on line 6. Hi, T. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, it's Taya.
Hi, Taya.
Taya, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But I floss every time I go to the dentist the day before.
The day before. Nice. And isn't it funny? We think that's going to fool them. We think we're going to walk in there, and they're dental professionals, and they're going to go, wow, this person must take care of their teeth 24-7.
He's the cleanest teeth I've ever seen.
All right, so that's once a year as well for Taya.
Or
and
twice
one more,
a year, maybe.
Adriana joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, what's going on?
Hi, I floss once a day a week, and on the weekends I floss twice a day.
Right.
Okay,
because you've got so spare time on the weekends.
You floss at work, and then you see people's stuff on the mirror. It's already nasty. I don't want to floss at work.
Yeah,
so just once a day at home.
You shouldn't floss at work,
time
by
I
the
do
way.
My floss. I know what my coworkers do, and it's really gross. Because I go to the, you know, I go to the bathroom and I wash my hands, and I see in the mirror all their residue and
flecks of lunch on the mirror.
Did not want to hear that.
Yeah. Oh,
on the other hand, at least they're flossing.
Wow, Lisa's personally offended.
I mean, what if they don't wash their hands after the restroom?
Right.
Yeah.
What if they're flossing
your
their
peen,
butts?
You're hanging on to it, and then you go and floss.
Okay. All right. We got it. I think we've got a painfully clear visual of what your mirror looks like in the restroom.
So Lisa is the floss Nazi, it sounds like. She's really pretty high up on that mountaintop looking down at the rest of us, isn't she, Ralph?
4-1. 4-1 no floss, by the way, is the scientific survey.
I respect none of you.
So your teeth may be good, but you're a freak, Lisa. Please accept that.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
To the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday, actor Jason O'Mara joins us after the top of the hour talking about his new Fox show debuting next week called Terra Nova that looks so awesome. Yeah. $4 million an episode. It cost to make that show.
Wow.
Right? Crazy. Looking forward to talking to Jason. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I know death is Bean's thing. I don't want to steal his spotlight. Mm-hmm. I don't want to step on any toes. But I can't hide my glee about the fact that creator of Ziggy, Tom Wilson, is dead.
Yay!
Rot in hell, Tom Wilson.
You've been praying for this day your whole life.
Your effing Ziggy cartoon. Not funny once. Not once funny, ever. Oh, I'm going to go to the complaint department. I'm bald and round. Oh, I sure wish this tie fit. F you, Ziggy. I hate Ziggy so much.
Tom Wilson was 80 years old.
I'm not sure I remember which one is Ziggy.
You know Ziggy's on every greeting card. He's dead. He's been merchandised to death. He's everywhere. He's the little, short, bald, fat guy with the fat dog. And he's always at the complaint department, and he's always complaining. And he is Ziggy.
And you're glad that that dude is dead?
Yes, because he and the guy who created Heathcliff and Marmaduke, all of those guys.
Okay.
They're killing us all. One panel at a time.
I'm going to challenge you on Ziggy. It's never been funny. I just brought up today's Ziggy cartoon from the late Tom Wilson. This is the one that was out the day he died. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Ziggy is sitting in front of a desk where his stockbroker is behind the counter.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. Here's what the stockbroker is saying to little Ziggy. This isn't the best time to invest in mortgages, but here's a little opportunity in Nigeria I just heard about. See, Ralph? Fresh as today's headlines.
Oh, rot in
That's
hell,
today's
Tom Wilson.
Ziggy.
Oh. 1971, the character was created. It's been around for that long. What's that, 40 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Syndicating over 500 newspapers. This guy made more money than King Midas on this horribly unfunny comic strip. God damn it. God damn you. Tom Wilson. All right, let's get to other showbiz news. It is Tuesday. That means new CDs, DVDs, and TV on DVDs are in store for you to get. Modern Family, complete second season, is available today. Castle, which just came back last night with a great episode. I love that show. Complete third season is available. Mentalist, Hawaii Five-0, Body of Proof, Raising Hope, Mike and Molly, and Happy Endings. All have new DVDs for you to pick up. On movies, Bridesmaids, Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph, a very entertaining film, recommended highly. Dumbo, the Disney classic, is available today. I believe on DVD and Blu-ray, The Kennedys miniseries with Greg Kinnear and Katie Holmes, and Setup starring Bruce Willis and Ryan Phillippe. Anybody? Does anyone remember a movie called Setup with Bruce Willis and Ryan Phillippe? New CDs, Hysterical by Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah.
Really? Really? You're not even trying. You're not even trying to name your band. If you come up with Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. Major Minor by Thrice, Unbroken by Demi Lovato. Should be called Unbroken, but not Uncut.
Ooh.
Ha! Wasn't she the cutter?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Night of the Hunters by Tori Amos. Pearl Jam 20, the soundtrack to the movie of the same name by Pearl Jam. And Duets 2, Tony Bennett's duet album. It's got Lady Gaga on it, Willie Nelson, Queen Latifah, John Mayer. And the reason everyone's talking about it is because Amy Winehouse, one of her last recorded songs, was the duet she did with Tony Bennett. I believe we have the song from that album if you want to hear a little taste
of
it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Oh, that's
that
rough.
Day.
Yeah, it's towards the end of her career. I don't think
my
she...
My heart, it was up on a hill, and the hill, it calls to me. It calls to me like a big line of blow on a shiny mirror.
Yeah, I don't think she was at the peak of her performing.
Cable cars are up and down the street.
Yeah. Okay, that just, they should have kept that.
I don't think
kept that under wraps. Yeah. There's no reason to release
Maybe
that.
They should have kept that one. Today's celebrity birthday, Sophia Loren is 77 years old today. Gary Cole, one of my favorite actors, celebrates his 55th birthday. Kristen Johnston from Third Rock from the Sun is 44 years old. John Easdale of Dramarama celebrates his 50th birthday. The Nelson boys, Gunnar and Matthew. Gunnar, that's a name. That is a name for a man. Gunnar. I'm Gunnar. He's 44 years old today, along with his brother Matthew. And Moon Bloodgood celebrates her 36th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
World famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ, it's 8:06. We're about 3 days into the new fall season, Ralph, and my brain is already melting. I'm already on overload. My DVR is already huffing and puffing, trying to keep up with all the... It's insane. And then, you know, you think you got your schedule lined up this week. You go, okay, now I understand what my Mondays are going to be like. And then you look ahead, and next Monday, then the whole thing goes out the window because Terra Nova is coming on.
I can't wait for Terra Nova.
And then what are you supposed to do? Didn't you see a little bit of Terra Nova at the Comic-Con? Didn't they do some Comic-Con
stuff? I didn't. They were talking about it down there, and I believe they did have a panel, but I was running around, didn't get a chance to stick my head into that one.
Well, this is certainly one of the most ambitious and talked-about new shows of the new fall season. Terra Nova debuts Monday night at 8 on Fox. We couldn't be more delighted to welcome Jason O'Mara to the Kevin and Bean Show. He is one of the stars of the show. Hey, Jason. Welcome, my friend. How are you?
How's it going, lads? I'm great. Good morning.
It's going great, and we're not blowing smoke up your butt, man. We can't wait for this Terra Nova. I mean, when I say ambitious, I mean, I don't remember, maybe, I mean, this even looks bigger than Lost in some ways, just in terms of the scope of it and the science behind even making this show.
Yeah, it's cinematic in scope, and you know, I don't think there's anything like it on TV at the moment. There's so many visual effects and so much CGI, and you know, we're shooting out in the Gold Coast of Australia, which is sort of the eastern side of Australia, and it's just beautiful out there. Waterfalls, mountains, rainforests. It really does look like the Cretaceous period, and we've shot every last inch of the place.
Jason,
it's on screen.
Jason, it's hard enough to do an episodic, a one-hour episodic show. As you know, you've done a couple of them. I mean, it's an enormous amount of work, and then on top of it, to be doing what is really like shooting a movie every week, what does that entail?
Well, I mean, I have to stay physically fit because, or else I'd probably just get sick or just crawl up into a corner and cry like a baby. So I've been getting up, you know, a couple hours before shooting every day, which can be as early as 3:30 in the morning, and doing some exercise and working out. The thing is, you know, action per se isn't difficult. It's fun doing fight scenes. It's fun doing leaping and running and chasing after dinosaurs, but, you know, you don't get a break after that. After that, you have to just get up the next day and do 10 pages of dialogue. So, yeah, it's important to be physically fit and just, you know, the thing is, there's a great attitude on the set. You know, our morale is high, and everybody there is just really looking forward to this thing coming out and everybody watching it, you know?
Now, the premise of the show is so fascinating, and what's scary about it is the Earth is polluted, I guess, to a point where you guys kind of have to go back in time to try to correct some of the mistakes that mankind has made. But the starting point of this show is only about 150 years from now. That's a kind of a frightening prospect to think that the world has gone so far awry in such a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. We're setting the show in 2149. The way I look at it is, you know, it's not, you know, we're not being sort of moralistic. It's a nightmare scenario. It's what happens if we don't do anything about what's going on now, mm-hmm. you know? And that's kind of the message. There are plenty of things we can be doing. However, you know, it's not just about correcting the future. This is sort of an alternate time stream. So we're going back to sort of colonize the past, not to sort of fix time, you know? There's just an important distinction there.
Yeah, so it's the only place really for Earthlings to go now. It's the last frontier where they can start anew, right?
Exactly. It's almost like colonizing another planet, you know? Yeah.
Okay, why do they go back so far, though? And forgive me if I'm asking you to give away any plot points for Monday night for Terra Nova, but, I mean, it seems like 85 million years, I think is what I heard. Isn't that going back a little further than you need to start correcting things? Doesn't it seem like you could go back 200 years, really, and make a huge difference with technology?
Yeah, we could just go back to, like, you know, last Thursday. or even to 1973, like my last show.
That's right, yeah.
No, we decided it's a naturally occurring rip in time. It's a sort of a vortex wormhole that scientists have found.
Oh, I see.
And there is no choice. You know, you can't just set a dial like in Back to the Future. It's kind of, this is where it goes, and it's one way, and, you know, you can't come back. And so that's kind of... that's just the way it is. It's natural.
Yeah, I understand. I totally get it. And I love this whole premise. And I mentioned Lost, and I mean that with the highest possible compliment because we love that show as well. I love the idea of a group of people starting a new civilization, and new leaders have to emerge, and new rules have to be written, and new things have to be discovered. And you get the opportunity to start over again. And I think there's something so fascinating about that. And I always wonder, if we could go back with the knowledge of what we've done since, would we do it any better, or are we just humans and we'd make the same mistakes all over again?
That is exactly the premise of the show. And, you know, when I first read the script, I opened it up and, you know, I read the two-hour script that you're going to see in its finished version on Monday night. And, you know, obviously I was intrigued by the dinosaur aspect and the futuristic aspects and the fact that Steven Spielberg was attached to this and all of that. But by the time I finished the last page, I kind of put my head in my hands and I was like, oh no, they've got a second chance and they're blowing it. It's that kind of thing. It's like, if we had a second chance, would we do everything right? And, you know, the thing is we bring humans with us through the portal, but we also bring our human nature, and that's kind of the premise of the whole thing.
Yeah, Jason, I get the sense that in spite of the special effects and the elaborate backdrop, it really is a show about the interaction of these people and trying to form a society out of this group, right?
Exactly, and with that, you know, we have to establish law and order. We have to, there are, you know, various decisions that have to be made and in terms of sociologically and culturally and all of that, legally, everything. So every sort of decision we make has large repercussions for mankind. In a way, it's like a pioneer town in one of the old westerns, you know, mm-hmm. and we're just sort of sheriffs and mayors and we're trying to establish some sort of civilized society.
This is the voice of actor Jason Amara on The Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his show Terra Nova that debuts this Monday night on Fox. How is your family selected as one to go back and be part of this early colonization process?
Well, just like in real life, my wife is way prettier, way smarter than I am. So she has been handpicked as a sort of a surgeon to be part of the Terra Nova colony because she has so much to offer and she's allowed to bring her children back. However, I've been incarcerated for getting aggressive with, let's say, with one of the population control officers. Because another thing about this future we've created in our world is that you know, there's a restriction on family. So you can only have a family of four. You can only have two children. Yeah. And I get upset at the beginning. I end up in jail. And so the only way I can join my wife on this adventure is if I break out of jail and stow away through the portal. So that's kind of the whole opening sequence, which I have to say is pretty exciting to watch. And there's something very Steven Spielberg about doing that.
Hey, Birma, can you get up clip number two? Is that something you can have at your fingertips? Jason is just talking about the scene with the population control officer, and I think it's a great clip to play from Terra Nova from Monday night on Fox. This gives you an idea of what the tone of the show is like. Hit it, Steve.
Man sworn to uphold the law, a woman as accomplished as your wife, and you decide to have a third kid to risk everything. Why?
It seemed like a good idea at the time.
You thought that was a good idea? That you'd actually get away with it? Good grief, son. What were you saying?
What's between me and my wife is none of your damn business.
Now, you're going to lock me up or what?
What I ought to do is throw you outside the fence and let you fend for yourself.
No, what you ought to do is give me a gun and a badge and let me do what I'm good at. There must be some bad guys around here need catching.
Jason, are you an Irish guy working in Australia doing an American accent?
Yeah, that's correct.
What a life.
That's pretty cosmopolitan, isn't it?
It is.
Jason, besides yourself, which is always an attraction for me for any project, you're working with the great Stephen Lang, who's another one of my favorites.
I want to be Stephen Lang when I grow up.
He's pretty terrific, isn't he?
He's amazing, and he's a prime specimen of a man, and which is cool. You know, we have a kind of a bromance, both on screen and off screen. We got on very well. We have a good laugh on this, and I think we have the most fun when we're doing scenes together, and I think that comes through in the show.
Well, we couldn't be more excited about this one. As we mentioned when we brought you on, Jason, this is one of the most talked about shows and has been for months. It debuts this Monday night on Fox. It is called Terra Nova. You won't want to miss it. Jason Amara, great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
You guys rock. Thanks a lot.
As our friend Cat Corbett likes to say, sexy time with the Black Keys on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KRQ. It's 8:24. Yvonne Strahovski joins us next hour.
Talking about sexy time.
No kidding. Right now, though, speaking of sex, Ralph brought our attention to a new book that I can't believe that this is a topic, but apparently there's a lot more to this story than I recognized.
Yeah, I was fascinated. This book is being written by two psychology professors at the University of Texas, Cindy Meston and David Buss.
Lesbians.
And David Buss is a lesbian?
I don't know. I'm automatically against whatever it is they're saying. What's the problem?
There's no problem. They're writing a book that's called Why Women Have Sex. They did research. They interviewed men and women as regard to their sexual proclivities. And men, as you can imagine, have sex because they have the opportunity to have sex. Most men find most women sexually attractive. So that means that they want to have sex with almost every woman that they meet. Women, however, most women don't find most men sexually attractive. Very few men are sexually attractive to them. So they wondered, there's a lot of women who are having sex, and yet a lot of women are not that attracted to that many men. So why are they having sex? That was the premise that they went into the research with.
Because we're paying them. That's why.
Here's what they came up with. The book is called Why Women Have Sex, and they have come up with over 200 separate reasons women said they had sex with men.
Wow.
200 different reasons. Here's some of them. What they told the authors: to relieve boredom. Because they were bored. That's why some women would have sex. Bargaining power. In the return for a household chore, sometimes women would exchange sex. Sometimes women exchange sex for a nice meal.
Oh.
Or for a gift.
It's called dating.
Some women said, I slept with a couple of guys because I felt sorry for them.
I've
as
done
a
that.
As charity.
Have you done that, Lisa?
I have
the
done
reason
that.
Have sex is charity. And they said the vast majority of women said, I had sex with a man because he was not Bean, they said.
Oh, that's
that
not
the
in
reason.
The book.
It's
come
right
on.
Near the book. It says it. Some women say to relieve a migraine or stress headache. There are over 200 different reasons why women have sex. And we figure, well, if there's 200 different reasons, there have to be women in our audience who have had sex for odd reasons, for reasons other than you were in love or you found the person attractive. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Call in and tell us, what is the odd reason you had sex with someone?
Is to stop the whining on there?
It does not say, but I'm sure pressure has something to do with it, you know?
Yeah, I am fascinated with this as well. That's shocking that they could come up with so many different reasons. Toll free, 1-800-520-1067. Help me out. Flesh out this this reason that Ralph mentioned,
flesh
Lisa.
Having
sex because you feel sorry for somebody, because it seems to me like if you feel sorry for someone, you just don't want to be around that person. You want to hang out with that person.
Well, in the case of the specific one I'm thinking of, he wasn't a bad person to hang around with. He was just a virgin.
Oh.
And
so you took care of that for him.
Yeah. And I just thought, help a brother out.
Well done, Lisa.
They really liked me, and it just, I thought, you know, that. But then they become clingy. I didn't know that that's what would happen.
Have you ever had sex in exchange for something, Lisa?
No.
1 in 10 women, it says in this book, this is according to the researchers, have admitted to having sex for a gift or a present.
Does that mean they've actually kind of made the deal?
Yeah.
No, I've never done that.
Like someone gave you an expensive present or something and you felt obligated to or sensed that the exchange was going to be you were going to have sex in exchange for that bracelet or that expensive dinner or that car or that condo or, you know, depending on how hot you are.
If it was a car, I would do it.
Yeah, you'd have sex with a car.
Now, the sex for something, though, I mean, that's just the Kevin Bean intern interviews you're talking about there, right?
Yeah, that's different reasons.
I love to relieve boredom. To give me something to do. I love that as a reason. You know what? I got nothing going on. There's nothing on TV. I really don't have anything else to occupy the next 20 minutes. I'll go ahead and just roll.
Hey,
you know?
Want to do it?
Six in 10 college students that they interviewed said they regularly slept with a male friend who was not their boyfriend, and they had no other significant relationship with that person other than they were just friends.
Huh. Just a hookup, huh?
A lot of women college say life's too short, and they're separated from their significant other. You know, they move away from their hometown to go away to school. They said, you know, 4 years without sex, it's just not going to happen. I'm just going to have random sex because I want to experience that college experience. So,
let's take Jessica real quick before the break, and then we'll include some more phone calls, too. 1-800-520-1067. Jessica, thanks so much for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What do you think?
Hi. It calms my anxiety attacks.
Really?
Really?
Yes.
So, walk me through this. You start to have an anxiety attack, a panic attack. You start to feel agitated. It's hard to breathe. You just grab a guy on a bus and just start going at it?
No. Well, I have a fiancé, so he is there whenever I need it.
So, he's very understanding about helping you with this medical condition, it sounds like.
Yes.
So, you do it just... So, you're not necessarily turned on. You're just doing it to try to help to relieve your anxiety.
Oh, no. I do both.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I'm not trying to discourage the way you're doing it because it sounds like it's a win-win, but would other kinds of exercise achieve the same goal, or does it have to be sex?
If I'm at home and I need it right away, then, like, to kind of cure my panics, then, I mean, that's the easiest thing for me then. To put on my running shoes and go for a walk.
That's true. It's probably the most readily available form of therapy for you.
And you can probably mentally really check out from whatever it is you're worried about, whereas if you're out walking or whatever, it might still be rolling around in your head.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. All right. Well done. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. All right. 1-800-520-1067. More calls. Hey, it's chicks talking about having sex. You don't want to miss that. Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. Speaking of can't stop on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 839, we're talking about the 200-plus reason that women have sex. There's a new book out where they have investigated that question. Guys have sex because they can. Why do women have sex? And it's fascinating, Ralph, the list that you gave us of reasons, revenge, boredom, pity. I mean, all sorts of things that the rest of us don't think of.
Goods and services.
Here's a producer Alex has joined us. We'll get to you in a second, too. Also go back to your calls. A couple of emails on this topic. Jenna writes in, I'm having sex with my husband every day, whether I want to or not, because we have been doing it for almost 3 years every day as a challenge. So she's doing it just because they're trying to see how many days in a row they can do it.
Just keeping the streak alive.
Hector writes, I hooked up with a girl simply because she was Asian. I had never been with an Asian girl. Hey, is that racist? I feel dirty all of a sudden now that I've shared that. This must be how Bean feels all the time. Hey, wait a minute. Thanks for that.
Miss Haley writes in, at a party, I once slept with the host and his girlfriend in a desperate attempt to shut my ex-boyfriend down who was lurking around with that let's have post-breakup carnal parting of ways alone time eyes.
Ooh.
Bean.
Come on. This isn't about me.
Not sure if it was worth it. That's Haley's reason. So 200-plus reasons in this book, Why Women Have Sex. Two researchers from the University of Texas. We want to add your list. Add your reason to the list.
Let's try Anna on line one. Yeah, Anna, to get us going here, because this is one that we have not mentioned from the book. Anna, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the reason you have sex beyond I'm horny?
My husband once bribed me with $100.
Oh, you are a hooker to your husband.
We have a joint account, so when I spend, he'll see it, and it's that way I didn't have to worry about what I wanted to spend my money on.
Wow.
So he wanted to have sex, you didn't. He said, how about if I pay you $100? And you said, okay.
Exactly. And he didn't believe me, so he did, and I said, pay up.
He's married to a whore.
Oh, my God. I'm already married to him.
That is awesome. Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Let's try Sarah, line 8. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the odd reason you decided to have sex?
He had a Tempur-Pedic bed.
You just wanted to have that experience?
No, I hadn't been sleeping well, and I liked him, and I just figured it would be nice because I get a good night's sleep.
So you'd have sex with him, he'd fall asleep, and then you'd get to have a good night's sleep in the Tempur-Pedic bed.
Yeah, and I did.
What, wow. Was it worth it? How sweet was that bed?
You know what? Totally, totally worth it.
All right. Nice. Great. Well done. Producer Alex, you were nodding your
good
head
morning.
A lot as you were listening to Ralph read those lists from the book.
Yes. I am fascinated that you guys are fascinated that women have at least 200. I probably have 400 reasons. Yes, I've slept with guys out of total boredom. Just something to do that night. One reason I can think of that hasn't been mentioned yet is I slept with a certain gentleman just to prove that I could get him. Just
interesting. Just to show off to your girlfriends, you mean?
No, just to me. Just like a personal goal.
Yeah,
like,
how hard is that? Any girl can have any guy.
No, not true.
They always say that.
Some girls down. So for me, it was just sort of like a sport. If you're kind of bored, like, ooh, I think I'm going to try him. I'm going to go for him.
So was he out of your league a little bit? Like he was like really a great catch and you thought, I wonder if I can get him, I bet I can?
It's so subjective. I think occasionally as a girl you try for different types. You're like, okay, I've had my bad boy, I've had my blue collar. Oh, have I had my trust fund kid yet? I don't know, let me try that. You start to go through all the types just to see if you can or you know, what type works for you sexually.
Wow, speaking this is educational.
Types. Speaking of types, Jesse has an interesting reason on line 3.
What did you do?
Whoops, that's the wrong button.
Wrong drop.
Jesse, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What was your reason?
I had sex with a nerd because I hear that the geekiest ones are the best ones in bed.
Oh, that is kind of true. They
really?
Yeah,
I would think the opposite is true.
Nerds,
true.
Nerds are like fat chicks. They have to try harder. They have to try harder to make an impression.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was super, super nerdy, and he ended up being literally the best I've ever had.
There you go.
How about that? Fantastic. Thank you, Jesse. Let's try Alice, line 6. Alice, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What was your reason?
I once slept with a guy because I felt bad about tripping over his wheelchair.
Well, that's the least you could do for Stephen Hawking, I'm telling you.
Fantastic. Apparently a lot of guys, women trip over him.
Was he paralyzed from the waist down?
No, he just didn't have use of his
legs. Just his legs. So the other parts were working fine. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
If that's his game. He just sort of wheels his chair near chicks and just gets, you know, hot ladies that way.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Alice. Let's do one more. Angela is on line 5. Angela, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't think we've heard this reason yet. What do you got for us?
Hi. I performed oral sex on my husband because I had a sore throat.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen,
hey.
Medicinal purposes.
Wow. For medicinal purposes. Nice job.
Does your
She said yeah.
Okay. Wow, your husband's like chloroseptic.
Yeah, well, he enjoyed it.
I bet he did.
This is making insane.
Congratulations to Mike Esser from San Juan Capistrano. Just won tickets for Epicenter this weekend. Tickets are still available, and you can get the details at krock.com. From 106.7 KROQ, it is 8:53.
There he sits, the man of the hour. Charlotte, you claim to have tiger blood, but with all the porn stars you banged, it's probably just Tiger Woods' blood, I'm guessing.
Seth MacFarlane from last night's Charlie Sheen roast on Comedy Central will have more highlights of that broadcast if you missed it coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have passes to give away to the very special Kevin and Bean advanced screening of Real Steel. This is a movie I've been looking forward to for a long time. Boxing. I love boxing movies. Even if it's robots that are boxing.
I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
That's Hugh Jackman talking to one of the robots from the film. Against all odds, Hugh Jackman plays a former boxer who gets a shot at a comeback when he and his son build and train the perfect robot contender for the new high-tech sport of robot boxing, this futuristic sports film. I cannot wait to see Evangeline Lilly on the big screen, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Durant, also one of my favorite actors, also in this. Real Steel is the name of the movie. If you want to see it before anybody else, we're having a screening on Tuesday, October the 4th. The movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, October 7th, but you'll see it days before everyone else. If you're one of the lucky callers at 1-800-520-1067, first three callers to get through and say hi to Chip, we'll get a pair of passes to go see Real Steel. If you want to learn more about the movie, by the way, steelgetsreal.com is the name of the website where you can find that out. I think it's ill-advised, but still, it's Steel Gets Real is the website. All right. Boy, so much to talk about. I was wondering who was going to tune in to see the new Two and a Half Men last night. Would people's curiosity about Ashton Kutcher taking over for Charlie Sheen lead them to big numbers? If you watched it last night, you were not alone. 28 million viewers.
Whoa!
I knew I recorded it. I never watched that show.
28 million viewers. A stunning number for CBS for people to watch that sitcom.
That is better than American Idol numbers, right?
Yes, I know.
That's
monstrous.
Insane.
Easily the most viewed episode in the show's history, and that show was already very successful. Now, will it hold those numbers? Obviously not. But it has introduced a brand new group of people to a series they may not have otherwise taken a look at.
Well, I think everybody followed, at least with minimal interest, the drama with Charlie Sheen over the past few months. And the fans of the show, and there were millions of them, kind of wanted to see how that character, after all those seasons, was being killed off.
CBS says if it can keep half of the season premiere numbers, it will easily be television's biggest sitcom. So they're off to a good start.
Excellent.
The demos were good, too, by the way, for those of you who care about that kind of stuff. Over 10 million people in the 18 to 49 age group, which is what advertisers are looking for. So it's good news for them.
Charlie Sheen watched it, by the way. He had a party at his house last night, watched the roast, and watched the episode where he got to see his own funeral.
Yeah. John Lovitz apparently was at his house last night watching both. So I'd be interested to hear. John Lovitz will be my guest co-host on Hollywood Babylon this weekend.
Saturday night
at his podcast theater up at City Walk. He is going to be my guest host because Kevin Smith is out again this week. So I'm looking forward to having the conversation with him about not just filming the roast, but what it was like to watch the roast and that show with Charlie at his house. Should be interesting. Radiohead fans, you'll be happy to know that they're going to perform on the Colbert Report. This will be the first ever hour-long edition of the show. Steven's going to chat with the group, do an interview, and then they're going to perform four songs.
Nice.
An extra song is going to be recorded for the online edition of the show, but Stephen Colbert has scored quite the get there with the Radiohead. So if you're a fan, you're going to want to check that out. Ziggy creator Tom Wilson has passed away at the age of 80. He lived 80 years too long, in my opinion. Effin' Ziggy. Effin' Ziggy. Not once ever funny. Not once. Oh, and then people would send each other those Ziggy cards, those Ziggy greeting cards. Oh, Ziggy. Oh, Ziggy.
How does something like that become so popular that it's on in syndication for decades as a popular cartoon and then merchandise and everything else if it's not funny?
The greeting card line was even more popular than the comic strip in the newspapers. It used to outsell Care Bears and Strawberry Shortcake as the most popular character on greeting cards back in the 70s and 80s. So, Ziggy. Ziggy's creator, gone.
So we're glad he's dead. That's the official.
That's what we're saying. It is Tuesday. New CDs and DVDs are out today on DVD. If you like to pick up the TV box sets, Modern Family, Castle, The Mentalist, Hawaii 5-0, Body of Proof, Raising Hope, Mike and Molly, and Happy Endings all have complete seasons available.
Is there any show that is on television that doesn't get a DVD release anymore? Is that just part of how they make their money back for creating television anymore?
It's only one I can think of.
No kidding. But I mean, a couple of those shows you mentioned were barely had audiences when they were on the air. Whoever is going to go out and buy Raising Hope on DVD?
I like Raising Hope. I think it's good. It's coming back tonight with a brand new episode.
Pick something else then from your list.
Happy endings. You might be hard pressed to find someone who's a hardcore happy ending fan.
Like, who are the people who need to own it?
I need to have the complete first season of Happy Endings. Bridesmaids. With Kristen Wiig and Maya Rudolph's available on DVD today. Dumbo, the Disney classic, also available. And Set Up, starring Bruce Willis and Ryan Phillippe. Not familiar with that film, but I sure don't know what it is. That much I can
tell. Probably never will.
CDs? Don't we even know what that is?
No, we don't, Rodney. CDs available today. Hysterical by Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. Major Minor by Thrice. Remember when you threw the Thrice demo in the pool?
That wasn't me.
Remember
that?
guy came up and said, I'm a big fan of this. These guys are friends of mine. They're a band. They're called Thrice. And I really think there's a sound that you guys would like. Maybe you can play them on your show. And talking to Bean, with so earnest, this guy. Bean takes the CD out of the guy's hand without even looking at the ladder and just tosses it over his shoulder into the pool at the party where we were.
Fast forward about 4 months, and they're playing the Weenie Roast. They're playing the big summer concert. They're huge stars. And by the way, Ralph, I don't know if you know this PS to the Thrice story. I don't know if these guys are stalking me or if they're still holding a grudge, but I'm not joking when I tell you that one of the guys, and I think it may be the guitarist for Thrice, is living on the island.
He's
living on the island. And I don't know, is he coming to kill me because he heard the story and will never forgive? Or is it just a weird coincidence? But I do not want to run into him at the hardware store. I'll tell you that.
Oh, it'd be awesome if he murdered you. That would be so funny.
I would not see that ending coming to that story.
Unbroken by Demi Lovato's new CD available today, Night of Hunters, Tori Amos. Pearl Jam 20, soundtrack from the motion picture, is also available today. And Duets 2 by Tony Bennett. The guy's in his 80s, still recording. This is a brand new collection of songs that he duets with Lady Gaga, Willie Nelson, Queen Latifah, John Mayer, and Amy Winehouse in what is maybe her final recording release to the public. Here is her duet with the great Tony Bennett.
Missed the Saturday dance.
I missed it cause I was drunk.
Heard they crowded the floor.
The floor was crowded cause I was drunk.
Couldn't bear it without you.
You weren't there so I got drunk.
Can't get around much anymore.
I can't get around because I'm drunk.
Yeah, I think we get the point there.
Went to the club to get drunk.
Got as far as the door.
Then I found out I was drunk.
They have asked me about you.
Asked me to leave cause I was drunk.
Don't get around much anymore.
I can't walk because I'm drunk.
Yeah,
I don't think needed to be recording at that stage in her
life. The coda to her career I think she was looking for. Today's celebrity birthday, Sophia Loren is 77 years old. Chuck Panozzo of Styx is 64. Gary Cole is 55. John Eastman of Dramarama is 50. Kirsten Dunst is 44 years old today. Ben Shepherd from Soundgarden is 43. And Moon Bloodgood.
That's what I'm talking about.
Celebrates your 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 9:10. Yes, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. We do have those highlights, as promised, from the Charlie Sheen roast that was last night on Comedy Central with your friend Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy.
Yeah.
I guess Alex is dialing the phone here. We're going to have the beautiful Yvonne Strahovski on in a minute.
Boy, she's good.
She's so awesome. And I was just thinking as we're getting ready to talk to her about her new film, Killer Elite. And of course, we knew and fell in love with her on Chuck. I was thinking we were all fans of hers on the show. We all enjoyed watching her on Chuck. We were excited when she came in. And then she was one of those actresses who came in that just blew us away in person. Remember, not only was she even prettier in person, so nice.
Yeah.
Like, adorable. The kind of guest you want to take out to your car and wrap her up in the truck, right? I mean, you're with me on that.
Why do you insist on being a creepy dude?
No, I'm just saying because you have so much fun talking to that person.
Yeah, so you don't wrap them up in a trunk. No, you'd be nice to them.
I thought that was standard dating protocol.
I think it's Australians especially. Australian women seem to be very sort of down to earth and just one of the guys, and they're able to hang out and have a pint with you and just enjoy your company. And yeah, on top of it, they're also spectacularly attractive.
I think you're right. I don't think they're quite as damaged as American women.
I agree.
I don't know if that's an oversimplification. I'm just saying that we love Yvonne. That's all I'm saying. That's the bottom line of this entire story is how grateful we are to have the beautiful Yvonne Strahovski back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Yvonne, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing
We're doing great. We were saying many complimentary things about you before before you were able to join us, and we just wanted to thank you in advance for talking to us again.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I don't know where to start. Obviously, we want to talk about Chuck because I know that's coming back next month for what looks like its final season. But why don't we start with the big movie? It opens up everywhere on Friday. As soon as I saw Jason Statham, I said, okay, I'm in. Then I saw Clive Owen and I said, how much more in can I be? Then they threw De Niro up on the screen and I'm like, all right, I'm going already. And then along comes you. And now it's just, it couldn't be any better. An unbelievable cast. What's it like as an actress to get that call that you're in this movie?
Yeah, look, I feel really, really lucky to be part of a movie with such an amazing cast. And honestly, when I first signed on, it was just Jason Statham at that point. And then I signed on, and then we found out that Clive Owen was joining. And then I remember flying down to Melbourne where we shot
a lot of the movie, Melbourne, Australia. I went into the production office, and they had all of us, you know, all the actors' photos on a wall, and I saw myself and Jason and Clive, and then there was this photo of Robert De Niro, and I asked, oh my gosh, is he going to be in this movie? And the producers were sort of nodding their heads, and then they said, yeah, and you're going to have scenes with them too. So it was definitely a big, big fat surprise.
What was that like working with De Niro? Were you intimidated at all? Because after all, he is Robert De Niro.
I was definitely nervous, but I was more excited than anything, and it was really hard to wipe the grin off my face when we got to set. Definitely a bit of pressure because they put the camera on me first.
You couldn't even warm up.
Me and Bob sitting there opposite each other, and the camera was on me first. So I kind of wish they'd done it the other way around, but
sure.
Here we are. I think it turned out okay.
Now, this may sound like a really stupid question, so forgive me, but when you're growing up in Australia, are the Hollywood movie stars and the Hollywood movies that are big, big hits, are they roughly the same? Do you grow up with a lot of the same movies that we do in the United States as big popular films?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some of the cult hits here in the States that are not cult hits in Australia. It's sort of changes a little bit, but the majority of the movies, yes, and definitely we're familiar with actors, and certainly a lot of American television as well in Australia. So, you know, we grow up listening to the Australian accent. I mean, the American accent,
right,
rather.
Right. So a guy like De Niro, he crosses all boundaries, though. I mean, you see him, and you're with everybody else. You're like, oh, my God, that's the Untouchables guy. That's the Godfather guy. That's the Raging Bull guy. I mean, it freaks you out like it would any American actor then.
Yes. Yeah, totally. You could feel a ripple of excitement, like, going through the cast and crew that day in Melbourne. You know, it was really special. It was such an amazing honor to have such a legend.
Sure.
Yvonne, what's your role like in the film? Do you get to kick ass like the rest of the boys?
You know, one would think that I do, based on what I do on Chuck.
Right.
But no, I'm not part of the action in this movie. I play Anne. She's an Australian country girl, so I get to go back to my roots and be Australian, and I think the most action that I get in the movie is real horse and shooting rifle once for fun. So there's this love story embedded in this action movie between myself and Jason's character.
Does Clive Owen's mustache in the movie have any lines? Because it is one of the most remarkable pieces of facial hair I've seen, at least on the movie poster, in years.
Yeah, I think they're doing a spin-off actually called The Mustache, where Clive Owen's mustache just features in its own, feature film.
Well, they should. And by God, what an unbelievable actor he is. And Jason Statham, even though he's primarily known as an action guy, is a great actor too. I love watching him in the scenes, even where he's not kicking butt.
Yeah, and it's great because, you know, you often see him as that action star, which he's so great at doing, and then this movie you get to see a bit of a softer side in him with this love story that plays out in this movie.
Now, you mentioned the most action you got was riding a horse. Is there any other kind of action in the film? Are you and Jason, I mean, is it that kind of movie too?
Oh, well, I mean, there's some kissing involved.
Yeah. You'll have to excuse being the pervert, Yvonne. We apologize.
No, I didn't know that. What kind of love scenes there might be to look forward to. That's all. Killer Elite is the name of the movie. It opens up everywhere this Friday, September 23rd. Yvonne Strahovski on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show with her adorable accent. It's not till October, but Chuck is coming back, and it looks like this is the final season. Is that for reals, or is there still a little bit of a question whether season 5 is going to be the end, Yvonne?
Well, it's been reported. It's the final season, season 5, and it's been very, it's bittersweet. You know, it's nice to have an ending to write towards and give the fans what they want, you know, a proper ending. I think it's going to be very emotional when it finally finishes. I've been thinking about it a lot, and that makes me teary thinking about the end of Chuck.
And I know that you've said in some of your interviews recently doing press for this movie that you can't believe the fan base that you guys have developed for Chuck. I mean, it really seems like it has made quite an impact on you, the reaction you've gotten from people since you've been doing that TV show.
Yeah, I think I speak for the cast when I say we're eternally grateful for their support. I think it's the fans are the reason we're still here shooting season 5, you know. We've always been on the bubble, and they've just pulled through and shown their support, and they've just been there for us from day one. It's amazing, amazing, amazing to have such a loyal fan base.
Well, you do good work, and that's what happens sometimes, I guess. October 21st is when Chuck comes back for Season 5. That's going to be on NBC. The film is called Killer Elite. It looks so awesome. It opens up everywhere this Friday. Glad we got a chance to chat with you. Now get back to work, Yvonne. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Very disturbed, Ralph. You've seen this image that Dave put up for the Kevin and Bean picture of the day?
Yeah, everyone stop talking about that. It's not
I saw that, and it looks like it's Lindsay Lohan making out with her mom.
But they're not doing it.
Lisa, please look at this photo and tell me how it's not Lindsay Lohan making out with her mom, Dina, because I don't see. What's the other explanation, Ralph?
If it were, it would be her mom making out with her chin, because her mouth is underneath Lindsay's mouth. They're just hugging, and Lindsay is talking in her ear.
Lindsay is going in for tongue. That's what's happening in this photo. Jesus. I am grossed out by this. You should go to Kevin and Bean. It's creepy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty creepy.
You should go to KevinandBean.com and see the photo.
There's no way they're actually.
No, I
don't want it to be either.
Shot that was taken while they were hugging, and everyone's like, "Oh, look, they're making out." Yeah. It's like, oh, really? Are people that dumb?
I wouldn't put anything past those two, honestly. I really would.
All right, they're making out.
Okay, that's what I thought. Seeing it my way. Go to KevinandBean.com and check out the photo of the day that we do. And by the way, while you're doing computery stuff, don't forget to subscribe to the Kevin and Bean podcast on iTunes. That way you don't miss a precious second.
I don't recommend that.
Time now for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I think I want to be Jeremy Renner when I grow up.
He's a fine actor.
He is a fine actor, and he's got the hell of a career, and he had that Blow Me Up Tom movie. What was that called? Blow Me Up
it's
Tom, right?
Blow Me Up Tom, the Hurt Locker, right.
And now he's going to be in the Avengers. He's going to be Hawkeye in the Avengers, so he gets to be a Marvel comic superhero, which is pretty cool. And now we find out today, Scarlett Johansson. That's who he's been spending time
with. Oh, wow.
Yay!
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen her naked, but still, it's pretty cool for him to be dating her.
They think it's comparable?
I think
naked and him being with her? That's comparable.
I saw those two photos.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, apparently they became quite cozy on the set of the Avengers, and now they're the item. How about those two?
Yeah.
Ian Somerhalder. He's a good-looking feller.
Yes, he is.
He's on, of course, The Vampire Diaries. We got to know him on Lost as well. He said that he opted out of going to his high school reunion this year because he said explaining that he plays a vampire on Vampire Diaries would just be too difficult to go through 100 times talking to people. So he decided just not to go to the high school reunion.
Really?
If you were on a TV series, wouldn't that be the first thing you would do is go back to your high school reunion?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll take the time to explain to you how I'm on a TV series and the role that I play. Sit down. I would take that time.
And I also think he wouldn't really have to explain it to too many people because he's probably well-known among his classmates from high school. They know what he's doing.
And it's called The Vampire Diaries. How hard is it to explain that you play a vampire on The Vampire Diaries?
Does he think he needs to explain how TV works?
Maybe.
Like how the signals get to your house?
The motivation behind his character and what it takes to inhabit the body of a vampire and how he fulfills that ability.
He
may be overthinking
it. Emmys too. Bully. Yeah,
he didn't look comfortable, did he?
Not at all.
Hey, Bean, I was just wondering, do you have your voice insured? Being, you know, that you are a big radio star and everything, have you insured your throat, your larynx, your
certainly
tongue,
not.
Your tonsils, your vocal cords?
No, I'm fairly replaceable, so no, and there's no need for that.
Interesting article in Star Magazine this week about stars who have insured parts of their bodies. For example, David Beckham has insured his legs for $70 million.
Wow. Now, I guess that's probably a pretty expensive insurance policy because he has an occupation where he is likely to injure his legs.
Yeah. I don't know if it's just an injury policy or whether it's the lack of use thereof. You know, if he gets paralyzed from the waist down or if he breaks a leg or something, what the payoff is. But it costs him he's got $70 million policy, the payout is for his legs. Maybe loses them both and a bizarre Ginsu accident or something.
You know what's odd about that? It's got to be super expensive to pay for that insurance. And he's got so much money. Like, if he couldn't play tomorrow, he'd be fine. His kids would be fine. His kids' kids would probably be fine.
True. He doesn't need that payout, does he?
No.
He's probably spending more money on the premiums than he would get back in benefits.
That's odd.
Dolly Parton's breasts are insured for $3.8 million.
What is she worried will happen to them?
I don't know. What if she loses one in a bizarre Ginsu accident?
Apparently a lot of it's going around.
$3.8 million. Couldn't she just pony up to four so at least it's even, $2 million each?
Maybe one is bigger than the other.
$3.8, it's hard for me to do the math to know exactly how it breaks down. Daniel Craig has his entire body insured for $8 million.
Well, that's just life insurance is all that is at that point,
that's
right?
That's true, yeah. But what if his body becomes incapacitated in a bizarre Ginsu accident?
Again.
And Keith Richards, this is my favorite, Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, has his middle finger insured for $1.6 million.
His pickin' finger?
I think that's just his FU finger.
Yeah.
I see. All right.
I think it's just him having fun with money. I've got enough money that I can insure my middle finger, so if I just want to flip everybody off, I make sure that that's insured. $1.6 million. Very interesting. Charlie Sheen's character, Charlie Harper, was killed off on 2 and a Half Men last night. Ashton Kutcher taking over the lead on that show. CBS was hoping for decent numbers. Well, their wish came true. 28 million viewers tuned in.
Yay!
Any of you guys watch? Any of you?
I recorded
it. I watched it.
You did? I did not see it, and I forgot to record it. So I
did watch it.
I lost out. Apparently, Jenny McCarthy stopped by. She was a guest star on the show. Terry Hatcher, Jerry Ryan, several others playing his ex-girlfriends, I'm assuming, at his funeral. Bean, you watched it? Can you confirm or deny what I'm saying?
Any
yes,
any
that is true. And
I need Bean to add to my story. The one time I need him to actually speak up and just a stony silence from the island.
I had mentioned that I saw it. I thought if you had questions, I would be happy to answer. But yes, that I can confirm that. There were other cameos as well that I won't spoil for those of you who had DVR'd it, of people who are coming to look at Charlie Harper's house.
John Stamos.
A couple. There were other cameos as well, people who stopped by.
Darman Gregg. Darman Gregg.
I don't think that show is for me. And I have to tell you, Ashton Kutcher's character is so dumb. I mean, it was like he was still playing Kelso from That 70s Show.
Mm.
And I just, not for me. I don't think.
For those who are wondering how Charlie's character bites the dust in the premiere episode, they do make it clear that he died in a bizarre Ginsu accident.
What if the chance? I hope he had insurance.
I hope he did, too.
That's not me.
Oh, sorry. By the way, Charlie Sheen looks like he is finally settling his lawsuit with Warner Brothers. Remember, he sued them when they fired him for $100 million. He said he wanted money not only from back pay that he was due for the remaining episodes on his contract for the season that he left on, but also for any future money that the series made, including episodes with Ashton Kutcher. It turns out...
And I didn't understand that, Ralph, because what is his case for future episodes? He's the one who essentially walked away from the show with his bizarre behavior. I mean, he forced them to fire him.
But
right?
He was claiming that it was his work that established the success of that show and anything that they reaped the benefits thereof after the fact. He was entitled to a portion of it. Anyway, it looks like they're going to settle that deal. He will not be getting that money. However, he will be getting his back pay and some other money as well. It looks like a $25 million payday for Charlie Sheen.
Wow.
That's a time over for a year.
Yeah. Warner Brothers will pay it all out. Chuck Lorre, the producer who was also named in the lawsuit, will not be responsible for any of those monies. So it's just Warner Brothers' way of saying, okay, here's your check. Go away.
Yeah.
I wish our station would write me one of those.
Here's your check. Go away. Here's a nice big check.
They don't do that. They say, here's your check. Keep coming back.
There are a few people at radio who have been lucky enough to be fired and still get paid for years afterwards. And that's the sweet deal. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, get it on.
Your friend Tom Likas, I believe, has been living quite comfortably for a number of years as well.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable.
That's right.
Do you care?
That's right.
Didn't think so.
Today's celebrity birthday. Sophia Loren is 77 years old today. Gary Cole, one of my favorite actors, turns 55. John Easdale of Bananarama. Nope. Dramarama.
Dramarama.
He is 50 years old. Kristen Johnston, Third Rock from the Sun fame, 44 years old today. The Gunner and Matthew Nelson boys. Nelson, 44 years old today. Ben Shepherd of Soundgarden is 43. And Moon Bloodgood celebrates her 36th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you very much, Ralph. Looking ahead toward tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday, I think we have a good one. That rich radio personality we're talking about, Adam Carolla, is going to be joining us for This Week in Rage.
Get it on.
Adam, of course, with the number one podcast in the world. Love that dude. Also, Beer Mug has a man crush. I don't know if you heard this or not, Ralph, but his man crush is coming in studio tomorrow, and he is Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy.
Wow.
Wow, look at that.
Wow, you know him, you love him, you hunt him.
That'll be on tomorrow's show. Let me see. What else do we have? We have a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to pick up on a comment that Ralph made last week in the Showbiz Beat about the movie Point Break. You were talking about how no matter how many times you've seen that movie, you can't not watch it if you come across it on the TV.
Ah, or did I?
So we want to hear your bad guilty pleasure movies that you will never stop watching. We got that tomorrow as well. Coming up here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.